This is Tom Michael with Boise State Public Radio. Our guest, Robert Siegel, longtime host of All Things Considered from NPR, and he's retiring in early January after more than 40 years at the network. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much for inviting me, Tom.
So you're retiring at a time when, really, America's confidence in the news media is pretty low. Although it did rise slightly during 2017, it's still a minority who express their confidence in our profession. So when you see this polling, do you think, oh, well, I just need to do my job for our audience? Or do you approach stories differently for a potentially distrustful audience?
I thought you were going to ask me if I thought the level of trust might go up after I retire.
I thought that's where you were headed, but
no, I think that so far as I can recall, polls have generally, since the heyday of Watergate, for many, many years, people have not expressed a great deal of support of the news media. Although, like members of Congress who say they disapprove of Congress, but they like their own representative, very often people disapprove of the news media, but we're not forcing them to listen. You know, I mean, it's not an obligation. They listen to us by choice. We should always be careful about how we are reporting things, and if people feel that we're too opinionated or that we're too preoccupied with certain subjects, and if those are reasonable reasons to not like what we're doing, we should try to adapt. But generally, no, we don't twitch to a poll which says that trust in the media is down. We do what we do.
You know, you've watched the news business change. You've really helped define the network, part of its signature sound. And NPR News is known for many things that are different than other media, often longer stories, a variety of voices, lack of opinion programs, you said. Of all those qualities, as you helped build the network, what NPR trait did you see develop and think, oh, we got that one right?
Well, when NPR began, if I can try to transport you back to the 1970s, it was still fairly novel for journalists in broadcasting to speak like normal human beings to the people who were listening or watching them. The typical broadcast journalist would operate in a very stylized manner and announce what he, because it was almost always he, had to say. It was a very formal presentation of the news to the audience. In the late 60s and early 70s, people began experimenting with programs and formats where you talked out the story. And I think that NPR picked up on that one as other people in the early 70s were doing, which is let's not announce to people. Let's not screw up our faces and shout at them what we think the news is. Let's tell them in a fairly conversational tone. And very often a reporter will talk out a story with an anchor or a host and relate it in that fashion. And this is now so common throughout, say, cable television that it can be missed as a stylistic choice that was made some time ago. But I think we got that one right. I think we're very fortunate in being based in Washington, by the way, because although I'm a New Yorker, and it hurts me to say this, I don't wake up every morning wondering what's happening in New York that's going to affect me, nor everything that's happening in Los Angeles. But I do actually think every day what's happening in Washington that's going to affect me. And I think we've been based in the right place.
So you started there in 1976, and that's a full year before this radio station, Boise State Public Radio, launched. Has your work ever taken you to Idaho?
No, it is. Idaho is, I was thinking about this. Idaho is one of the very rare places in the country that I have not been, either to work or to vacation. There are only, I think, three other states in the continental United States that's true of, but I haven't. I've been to very nearby in Kalispell, Montana, but that's about it.
Our guest is Robert Siegel from NPR's All Things Considered. He's retiring in early January. So over the past few weeks, we've been hearing more personal stories about your interest in American dialect or how the English language has changed, about your love for Beethoven's Seventh Symphony. Mm-hmm. Are there some personal stories yet to tell?
No, in a word. The long answer is no. I think that the period of my on-air introspection and retrospection is about done, save for some parting remarks on January 5th. No more rummaging through the archives. As I like to refer to her, my personal obituarist, producer Melissa Gray, has rummaged through my works over the years, and there was talk at one point of doing still more pieces, but I think this is quite enough. And I think I'll just say goodbye on the 5th, and that'll be it.
Well, let's go back to one of those stories about how American language has changed. You're known for that precise NPR sound, although we're seeing all sorts of different storytelling and dialects and voices come through. Good, bad, indifferent?
Yeah, it's a balance. I think everything about this line of work is all art and no science, is my view. On the one hand, NPR's mission statement involved hearing the many accents of America. It's a phrase that Bill Siemering wrote many years ago. He was the creator of All Things Considered many, many years ago. On the other hand, I think one of our purposes is to translate from a variety of jargons and localisms into a common spoken language. I think that's one thing that we do in radio. And we now live at a time that greatly celebrates diversity and the validity of various different narratives. I think it's a challenge because I think our mission remains, among others perhaps you could say, to present things in a way that all of us can relate to and all of us can understand. So there's a balance there. I'm sure the way that we speak on the radio and that I speak on the radio would make people of an older generation turn over in their graves for our imprecision and lack of perfect diction. But the language evolves, the way we use it evolves. But I think, as I say, one of our functions remains to be a place where we can all listen to together and not feel that that's a stranger talking to me.
Like you said, the language evolves, and that's such a lovely piece with Audie Cornish where you talked about, you know, you even spotlighted your own children and how children's dialect changes. So I visited the NPR headquarters once, and I even sat in the studios during a live broadcast. Melissa Block invited me in, and I noticed that during breaks, and perhaps this was just to avoid talking to me, you were reading a book. Is that something you do?
If I've got to interview that author the next day, you bet I'm doing that. In between the times when I have to be live on the air, the time during the program is actually one of the downtimes during the day. You know, the studio from which we are originating, All Things Considered, is a very quiet, peaceful place when we're on the air. The control room through the glass where they're calling out what happens next and queuing things up, that's a somewhat more chaotic space. And outside of the office, at the table where the editor and the producers are, and they're trying to get stuff into the director on time, there it's really chaos. But our space is very quiet and very controlled, and it is a time to, when something's playing that's been recorded earlier, and I don't have to be on the radio at that moment, it's a time to catch up on email, it's a time to read a book, and to prepare for the next stuff that I'll have to do.
One of Linda Wertheimer's tips she told me when I was launching a public radio network in West Texas was, sometimes I will just read the pages on the left if I have to move very quickly through the book.
I think I've heard Linda say that. I've learned to read pretty quickly at this job. I never counted myself a fast reader until I became an All Things Considered host, and I had a kind of a graduate school's volume of reading to do. And I think I've become a lot faster at it now.
In closing, the obvious question, you know, you've had a front seat to the world as NPR grew up and as the nation changed in 40 years. I'm sure many interviewers have already asked you about your highlights. What are you particularly proud of?
I'm proud of a lot of reporting that I did from Eastern and Central Europe way back in the 80s and the 90s, covering what I didn't know at the beginning would be the end of the Cold War and the end of the old Soviet bloc, but it was. I'm very proud of a number of reported stories that we did about criminal justice with a couple of producers, with Margaret Lowe and with Julia Buckley over the years, in which we followed questions like parole and trying minors as adults and cruising with an inner city police department. And I'm very proud of having helped just be part of the daily sound of a program which I think sounds awfully good. And if I've helped contribute to that or set some of its boundaries, then I'm very happy to have been associated with the daily, less spectacular, less labor-intensive product of All Things Considered over all these years.
Well, on behalf of our audience, who would happily welcome you to one of the three states you haven't visited here in Idaho, we appreciate your service and we will miss your voice. Thank you.
Well, I'm embarrassed about not having been to Idaho all this time, but you asked. But anyway, thank you very much. And thanks to all the people listening for their support, both of KBSW, but also indirectly of NPR. We appreciate it.
We've been talking to Robert Siegel, host of All Things Considered. He'll be retiring from NPR after 40 years. This is Tom Michael, and you're in tune with Boise State Public Radio.